And you are tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Next up, our ongoing conversation with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. We're trying something different today. We are doing this as a Zoom meeting and also a broadcast. So if you are interested in joining in with this conversation, go to kptz.org, and all the instructions are in there on how you can actually join in this conversation. You have questions for John Morrow. I know you do. It has been busy. And without any further ado, let's go straight to John.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
How fun is this?
Oh, this is great.
I see some familiar faces on the Zoom screen, and I'm sure there are familiar ears out there too on the KPTZ broadcast. I'm excited for just 20 minutes of experimentation here. And I guess the point is, no matter what medium, we can gather and we can have a conversation. And so I'm looking forward to that. Tim, thank you for stewarding this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is fun. This is my idea of fun anyway.
So I almost made there's so much for us to talk about. And I'm hoping that there are limited numbers of people that join us today because they might be actually out in the march. And I was very tempted to do this by my phone, but I abandoned my family to continue as I ran into City Hall. But for those listening, you should probably know that, if you did pick it up on the numerous announcements on KPTV, I mean, today is Juneteenth. And we're celebrating and also really in thought here about our current situation. And to see hundreds of people at Pope Marine all masked up, walking through a very colorfully decorated, beautiful, BIPOC community led, street, event art. It was quite moving. I mean, my mask was wet just during the, incredible, speeches. You know, by Sean Vinson and by Paris Jade and others. It was compelling. And I'm hoping some of those listening had that opportunity to hear what they had to say.
Yes, well, you have a good vantage point for what's going on down there. And I know that the entire event had to present some challenges for you as a city manager. It happened very quickly. Luckily, I was able to hear about it on air during the live city council broadcast. But it did seem that this was a challenge, I would think, to make this happen in such short order. So thank you all for that in our city government.
Yeah, I mean, the team's amazing. So thanks to the team, particularly Steve Singh and Heidi Greenwood and Tor Serber, Dave Peterson. But I also a huge amount of thanks for the members of the BIPOC community who led this thing. And it was a real honor to be standing there with Tate LaChapelle, some of my friends and neighbors, and also Suzanne Carlson, who put so much effort into this, as well as Nat Nichols from the Arts Commission that, blessed the funding and allocated the funding for the paint. So, it's amazing what you can do if you just try to see every hurdle as something you got to clear. I tend to be a bit both naysayer because there's historic preservation and safety and a whole host of other issues we got to navigate. If you've got the right amount of wind behind you, and obviously our elected members were very supportive and brought it right to city council. So we got it done, and we look forward to what's next.
And at this time, it's worth repeating that if you are on this Zoom chat and you have a question for John Morrow, there is a mechanism at the bottom of your screen to raise your hand. And once that hand is raised, John will bring you live on air. You will be broadcasting at that time. And you also have the ability to just write me at tim@kptz.org if you would rather write a question for John that I can pass on.
Thanks, Tim. I do see some smiles looking right back at me. It's good to see you. If you'd like to say something, I'm happy to just unmute you. Maybe while I go here, just to make sure there's one thing I did want to, I'm very happy to talk about anything, obviously. Today is a pretty important day for our country and for our community. I don't want to sound tone deaf to that really compelling event happening right now. But I also want to make sure that those who are in need understand that we've done a few things. One thing I do want to mention is the utility fee fund, where we're accepting community donations, of which we have something like $7,000 of donations from the community and their utility bills. And we've seeded that with $25,000 from the city utility fund, and are continuing to accept donations. But we want to make sure those that are in need actually receive that relief. So if you're listening to this, you can go on our website, you can give us a call. There's an application with details and qualifications for that to pay a significant portion of the utility bills for those who actually have a dire need right now. So please check that out. And with that, I see a hand. So I'm going to see if I can make this work.
Might as well help pick up the tone. Thank you, everyone, for doing this. I've called in on many of them. I think it's a very effective way to reach out to folks. And I totally appreciate the transparency, John. So thanks so much. I have three things. I'll start with the easiest first and then move down to one that gives you more time. One, I just want to make sure that pool and our availability as older people to use that pool as a health and healthy community strategy is viable. I've probably aged 5 years in the last 3 months. I can't believe what happens to my 80 and 90 year old neighbors. And I know it's a tough decision, but I don't think we should use this opportunity just to close it and not reopen it again. Secondly, I want to congratulate you on, it's hard to be at the top as a decision maker and let chaos happen. And I'm really glad that you saw the wind blowing on the mural and opening up that, hopefully, a town square down there. We don't have a town square. When I look from that mural 360, that's the place. Let's seize it. Let's brand it. It's the new commons. I think it's great. And I know that we have so many bureaucratic systems set up. Not working for the government for 40 years gives me a real honor, a recognition of that power. But I do think as young people deal in a more digital age and we do telemedicine and all the changes happening, decisions are going to have to be made much more spontaneously and transparency and trust built up ahead of time so that we can stretch that, because it was the right time to do that. And I appreciate that that was held. And then the third one is I was able to sit in on the county city celebration of a new collaboration. And I'm sure that you were a big mover and convener of that. And so if you could tell us who are online what that means in terms of a shared collaborative resiliency strategy, how do you see that developing?
Thank you, Kathleen. Wow, three big ones there, and I'll try to do each one justice, but probably won't. So apologies in advance. I look forward to when we're having coffee in person again, Kathleen.
Me too.
It's been really, I agree with the aging many years over the course of 3 months. I feel like I probably have nothing to complain about, but I feel that strain myself even. And I think starting with a pool, you know, there's some really challenge, there's some big challenges. And I just want to tell those listening that there's at least three lenses that we're putting over things right now. One, do we have the state guidelines in place and the permission to actually turn things back on slowly? And for some things, we don't. And that includes in-person city meetings, unfortunately. But I think same thing with pool. We want to make sure we march in line with what the state's allowing us to do. The second thing is, can we do it safely? And even if the state says we can do it, we actually need to make sure that we protect ourselves and our residents to the utmost. And so I know that the team is just, you know, cranking through that approach, trying to make sure that we develop systems, that we actually think about this before we actually go any step toward turning things like the pool back on. And then the last thing, just to be, this picks up your comment pretty well, I think, is can we financially afford it? And I think with some services, we need to rethink how to do things better, more efficiently. Right now, there's no discussion about shuttering the pool. I don't want to give people false hope that things will just come right back to normal with normal hours. But, you know, we are looking at how to get the pool back up and running. Of course, we've got some long-term challenges with the equipment and the pool itself. But I see the immediate need, and I agree with you. So many in the community depend on that for health and well-being. And it's a goal of mine to make sure we can turn that back on safely and relatively soon. I love your comment about Town Square. I'll just leave it at that. I've done some painting in my day in the city of Seattle for intersections, and it brought back memories there. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see, and I don't think she'll mind if I mention a conversation I just had with Amanda Milholland, who, director of the farmers market, has also been in discussion about what could this look like uptown? What could this look like everywhere? And I'm sure there are members of the community who would love a chance to get down and dirty and making our streetscapes look amazing. So stay tuned. I think there's some emerging thinking there. And then the final question was about the Intergovernmental Collaboration Group, which we kicked off this week. And for those who are hearing about it for the first time, the four general purpose local governments, city, county, PUD, and port, all got together, including their executives, including all of their decision makers. So that's 16 elected officials and four executives. And we held a meeting to start a new approach to collaboration. And it would be foolish for me to say that hasn't happened before, because clearly these agencies collaborate. But I think now shows that we need to double down and actually do so with real passion and real, almost an urgency to think about how we recover and build resilience. And also think outside our boundaries, because this is not a government-led thing. This is a spark to ensure, as a community, all the sectors, all the voices that we're synced up, because we need an all-hands-on-deck approach. We need to tap into our local expertise and brilliance. We need to bring the small business community with us. We need to work with our nonprofit community. I mean, this is a multi-sector approach, and we're testing it out. And I'm hoping that those listening will either join the effort or stay tuned to what that group comes up with in just 6 months. It'll be a draft resilience recovery plan with actions, and we're going to push go. So I could say more, but you could join the next meeting.
I just want to respond to that one really quickly, if I can. And that is, in working with Kitsap County on their pandemic, they put together a civic pandemic team, but they included the tribes. And I think it's really critical that we include the tribes in your collaboration.
I would agree with you. And I can't say too much about that, but have been in contact with at least one of the tribes that has interest in being better together. So that's a really great point. Yeah. Hey, Sunny, good to see you. Thank you, Catherine. Good to see you, Sunny.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for doing this. Question, I'm reading a lot about the golf course, the open space. Has that come up with the city? Is that a rumor about them possibly looking at taking over the golf course as an open space?
That's a great question, and this is a great time to set the record straight. So the city council took action just this past week to consider this. We, as you might know, and those who are golf enthusiasts, we've had an agreement over the last 33 or more years for the operation of the golf course. And the current lease expires at the end of this year, and it's at the last extension period. So we can't keep going until we take stock and make a political decision. So the Finance and Budget Committee, before the COVID pandemic happened, was tasked with evaluating whether the city should take it over to operate it ourselves. I mean, the city, almost all of it's city-owned land, and it's a contract we have for the operation. That option was not acted on, and it was sort of declined. That was a good option for us. So it came back to council. They agreed. And then just recently they said there's a two-prong approach that we'll take, because we need to make a decision by the end of the year. And one of those prongs is pulling together an RFP, or request for proposals, to go out and say, okay, who, including the current operator, would like to operate this into the future? These are the outcomes we're looking for. And so we'll go down that path. And I think with a sense for greater creativity and what could be, maybe multiple uses, maybe golf course plus, we're trying to find a way to leave that open. And then the other path is to start a community conversation about what alternative uses, if there is no successful RFP, what is the best use of the golf course? And now it might come back that golf is a resounding answer to that question. It might be that golf and something else, or that something else comes back. So I think it's time now to have a conversation as a community about a well-used and loved piece of city land, and what the best use is. And if that use stays the same, fantastic. If it changes, Let's get some community minds and interests and actually understand what people want before we push go on what's next.
Thank you.
You bet. Great question. Tim, I want to recognize you as steward of this conversation. I missed not hearing your voice in between every few sentences. you might be sorting through what next. I'm just looking at the time. We only have about 4 or 5 more minutes.
We do only have about 5 minutes left, John. And so I see that you have a chat from Bill Putney that asks a question.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Bill. I'm going to read that. Has there been any further thought given to encouraging an Uber or similar service for Auburn to augment Jefferson Transit and the limited service we have? It seems like that would open some options for people. That's a great question, Bill. So my understanding of the history of rideshare in Port Townsend, I will admit, is slightly fuzzy. But I will acknowledge that I've heard from many people in the community that would solve a significant problem for people for the last mile, and either to get to transit or to make short trips and not be car dependent. There's a potential downside too, because some of the rideshare companies have not agreed by what we've asked for in terms of disclosing their drivers in an effort to keep people safe. There's been ongoing conversation with some of the larger companies about that, including recently. And it seems like some of those hard lines are starting to be worked through. So I know that the city attorney is looking at that and engaging directly. It's my hope that we, just like with any tool, we can think about what is the possible benefit for Port Townsend and for those who live, work, play here. And how do we avoid the potential pitfalls? Because I will say without a whole lot of prejudice, hopefully, that there are unintended impacts to the drivers. These are large companies that are profit driven, and I'm not necessarily against that, but sometimes that means very bad conditions for those actually working. There could be unnecessary trips and trip generation in our town that we need to understand better, because I'm guessing some will say, why do we have, if you can take another means, or if we can beef up our transit system, then why would you have additional car trips? We don't know the answers to any of these questions. So that's something that we had on our work program for this year. As you might imagine, this year looks a lot different than it did in January when we were sizing up. But Bill, I can promise to you that we will continue down the path to figure out, is this something we can move on this year? And it might need to wait till next year, but it's definitely on the radar.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with John Morrow, City Manager of Port Townsend, answering difficult questions on air in real time. And in just the few minutes that we have left, John, I'd like to ask you a question, and you may or may not know this. I don't know. As part of the COVID-19 restrictions, I've noticed that in large grocery store here, it gives out plastic bags by default. I've gone to plastic bags. Is that part of COVID-19 allowing that the plastic bags to be used during this crisis? And if so, is there a point where that goes away?
That's a great question. So you'll know, and I think with great enthusiasm, there's an associated effort by the Students for Sustainability to ban plastic straws. And that's going to come back to council now that there's no restriction on the type of decisions they could make. At one point, there was a governor's order that restricted what we could even put on our agenda to discuss and decide on. And those students have been just fantastic. They're smart. They understand the political process. They're articulate. And so we started that conversation far before the pandemic, and we'll be resuming that soon. A long time ago, I forget exactly what year, but quite some time ago, Port Townsend did ban plastic bags. And there's a provision in there that does allow for, large, supply-based issues with paper or with other means for them to revert back to plastic bags. So that's currently what's happened. There's no enforcement, or there's no law being broken based on what I've went and reread on the legislation. It's unclear to me when that gets switched back on. I think it would be the same driver that required the companies to start using plastic bags. And my guess is that as soon as we're out of the state of emergency, some of those things will be revisited.
Good to know. Thank you. We are at the last minute and a half of this conversation with City Manager John Morrow. And just to put this out there, this has been kind of our shakeout cruise using Zoom to connect with the community. It's I can see right now that we'll need to get you a good microphone and some good headphones. We'll clear up any audio issues that we have had. But I think this is going to work. And it's good to see your smiling face. And it's good to see that you're still smiling at this time in the role of City Manager, frankly.
Well, thanks, Tim. I can't say enough about the KPTZ team, you know, and your willingness to try crazy new ideas at speed. Just seeing some of your faces here now, it makes me just really grateful to be part of the community, and that this service of providing, you know, information and beautiful music and interesting commentary exists. I mean, I'm a listener, I'm a supporter, I really am grateful. And look, we'll keep evolving as we go into the future. And I greatly miss those chats with 20 or 30 people around the table, having coffee, talking about city issues, getting impassioned. It's a little hard to replicate that perfectly here, but I think this is a good start. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, I do have to say that this experimentation and the broadcast of our city government and that joint jurisdiction conference that you had on Zoom has made me more engaged than I have ever been. So if there is ever a silver lining, it is that I'm able to listen to the sausage being made as I sit on my couch. I want to thank you so much, John Morrow, for being with us. And everybody, as we get more used to this technology, you will have your chance to speak with John Morrow more about that later. And we'll go back to our ongoing programming here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Tim. Kate. Kathy.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.